Hello, fellow friends. This is David coming to you from the car. The Friday before Christmas, we are literally going over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house to visit our family for Christmas. And so here we are. My whole family's with me. Say hi, family.
Hi, family.
And we're driving in the car and we're listening to Fredcast episode 2. And the sound was awful. I don't know what happened, but I think GarageBand must have hiccuped on me. And as a result, all sorts of things got cut off and it really got mangled quite awfully. So I've re-edited it, remixed it, and I think this time things should make a little bit more sense. So enjoy this episode and happy holidays to you all.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Fredcast. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In this second edition of the Fredcast, I'm pleased to be bringing you the news as always, along with our special first annual Fredcast holiday gift guide, and as always, a little bit of PodSafe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're on your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. So let's get right into the news. As I told you last week, there's been a major split between the UCI Pro Tour and the Grand Tours, the Tour de France, the Giro d'Italia, and the Vuelta a España. This week, the war of words continued, starting first with Pat McQuaid, the president of the UCI. McQuaid believes that a solution can still be found despite the negotiations that broke down. Nevertheless, he's standing firm and is not exactly sounding very conciliatory. Just prior to meeting with the major team sponsors on Monday, he said that a split is the last thing that the UCI wants, and with the possibility of a separate calendar starting as soon as 2007, he just says he's not going to sit idle and let things go that far. McQuaid told reporters that the major tours can do whatever they want as far as putting on races, but he says that the UCI is the only body that's able to do certain things, creating calendars, rules, trophies, and standings, and that nobody else can do it other than the UCI. He says that he's going to work within the UCI's authority. He's going to make sure that it doesn't erode. And he called the group a breakaway group. He was especially upset because the group has decided to offer the teams an incentive, that 100,000 euros that we talked about last week, for participating in each of the three major races. Basically, he said, quote, "I would be very concerned about the future of cycling at the highest level if things continue in the direction which they could go." He then added that the major tours have no game plan and that he's worried that the teams are no longer going to have the security of knowing whether or not they're taking part in races, and that the organizers are purely driven by money, and that the reason that they're going in that direction is purely commercial. Shortly after McQuaid made those remarks, he had a meeting with the sponsors of the major teams on the Pro Tour. He briefed them on the differences between the Pro Tour and the Grand Tours, and while the teams were encouraged not necessarily to take a stance on the issue, they did definitely express their desire for a strong and united sport, and were hoping that a consensus could be reached between the UCI and the major tours. So at this point, we have the UCI basically standing firm, saying that they are the sole arbiters of the sport. They're the only ones who can create rules, the only ones who can create calendars, and that they are the ones who should be consulted on all issues regarding major races in the sport. Meanwhile, we have in the middle the teams and their sponsors hoping that there's going to be a consensus, and on the other side, we have the major tours saying, we're done. We're going to have our own tours this year. It's going to be outside the Pro Tour system until this system gets fixed. So I'll bring you more news on this as it comes out, but so far it looks like the two sides are pretty far apart. Now, with all of this going on in the background, there were two developments this week in regards to the Vuelta a España. The first was the fact that the president of the Liberty Seguros team, a gentleman by the name of Manuel Pineda, decided to quit his job, basically in the wake of Roberto Heras's positive doping test. As you'll recall, Roberto Heras won the Vuelta a España last year for a record fourth Tour of Spain win, and then shortly thereafter tested positive for the banned substance EPO. As a result of his positive drug test, Panera decided to quit the post, and he said, quote, "I'm leaving because there are things I do not agree with and that I cannot change, even though I'm president of the team." Now, Panera is the majority stockholder in the Active Bay company that runs the team, and he said that he was going to sell his shares to his other partners. When he left, however, he said that he felt that he was sure the sponsorship of the team would continue and that he was convinced that they have the best squad of riders in the world. So this whole controversy regarding Harris continues. He's yet another rider to test positive for a banned substance, and of course he's appealing, but in the meantime, it's definitely having a trickle-down effect on his team. Now, the second piece of Vuelta news came about just hours after Panera announced his resignation from the Liberty Seguros team, and that piece of news was the unveiling of the 2006 Vuelta a España route. Now, it is interesting to note that in the announcement, they were very careful not to mention Roberto Harris's name, even though he is definitely one of the most recent heroes of the Vuelta, despite his doping allegations. They did, however, in announcing the route, take a little bit of time to pump up the calls for the fight against doping in cycling. Ignacio Ayuso, the chairman of Unipublic, which runs the race, said, quote, "It would be insincere of me if I didn't mention the problem of doping. We have to take the fight against doping a stage further. I am 100% in agreement with a zero-tolerance policy." Now, the 2006 Vuelta is going to begin on August 26th with a team time trial, leaving from Malaga. It's only going to feature four mountain stages, and that is definitely fewer than usual, and this time it's going to avoid the Pyrenees altogether. The race is going to have two individual time trials, and it ends on September 17th in Madrid. And the final bit of Grand Tour news for today's podcast is about seven-time Tour de France winner Lance Armstrong. Now, I'm pretty sure that this bit of news probably didn't make it to your local nightly news broadcast and could come as quite a shock to all of you out there who are Lance fans, so you might want to sit down. Following a recent decision by an Italian judge, Lance Armstrong is going on trial starting March 7th in Italy in a defamation case. If found guilty, Lance could end up with an Italian prison sentence for anywhere from 1 to 6 years. Now, the case involves Italian writer Filippo Simeoni, who you may recall had given evidence against Lance's former coach Michele Ferrari in a 2002 trial. In that trial, Ferrari was found guilty of sporting fraud and acting as an illegal pharmacist. Ferrari appealed the verdict, but as a result of Simeoni's testimony, Lance called him a liar in an interview with the French newspaper Le Monde back in 2003. You may also recall that Lance chased this guy down on a stage of the Tour de France and was almost penalized as a result. Now, basically, the judge decided that even though Lance's comments were published in France, the defamation occurred in Italy, and therefore the trial is going to take place in Italy. I'm sure there's going to be more news on this as the trial gets closer, and I will be sure to bring it to you right here on the Fredcast. Okay, and you may remember a few years ago there was a big write-up in Bicycling Magazine, and it was all over the major national newspapers, about how bicycle seats are damaging men in their sensitive areas, if you will. Well, now a new company called Competitive Technologies is offering licenses for what it calls an innovative bicycle seat technology. Now, Competitive Technologies is a company that's traded on the American Stock Exchange. Their symbol is CTT. And they say that their new design can help minimize dysfunction in men as well as in women. And that what their bike seat is designed to do is to help avoid what they call bicycle seat neuropathy, which is apparently one of the most common injuries reported by cyclists, and it can lead to sexual dysfunction. So far, no reports of anybody actually buying a license from this company. The company really is in the business to develop technologies, to work with inventors, and to to license the technologies that they come up with. So we'll see if anybody actually uses this technology. As we all know, there's lots of different bike seats out there with all sorts of interesting cutouts and shapes. But whether or not this new technology actually gets licensed, that remains to be seen. Now, as you may have heard or possibly read in some of the bike magazines, SRAM, the company that invented GripShift, announced two new road groups for 2006. And they're also going to soon be announcing two professional team sponsorships. Well, they've now just announced that they're going to offer in the 2006 and 2007 race seasons neutral technical support at road races. Basically, what they're going to do is they're going to put five SRAM decaled 2006 Volvo XC70s on the road, and they're going to be providing neutral mechanical support at more than 80 events nationwide. SRAM's global marketing director, David Zimbaroff, called the program simply furthering our commitment to the road segment. So this is really showing that SRAM is really dedicated to the road market, and that they're really trying to keep up with companies like Shimano and Campagnolo. And it should be very interesting to see how well received not only their neutral technical support is, but also how well received their new component groups for road bikes are. Now, their neutral technical support calendar is going to include the Sea Otter Classic, the Pan Mass Challenge, the International Cycling Classic, and the Fitchburg Longzhou Classic. So look for the SRAM Neutral Technical Support Team at a race near you this year and next. Now, in the latest twist to the ever-bizarre Marco Pantani story, the mother of Marco Pantani is now strongly urging that her son did not die from a drug overdose, as has been widely reported, but that he was actually murdered. Now, a little bit of history here. Marco Pantani, as many of you know, was an Italian cyclist, and he was perhaps one of the best climbers of all times. The high point of his career was when he won the Tour de France and the Giro d'Italia in 1998, and he was, if you may recall, dubbed Il Pirata, or the pirate, because he always wore a bandana. Now, since 1999, his career was really in the tank. After drug allegations and when he failed a drug test at the 99 Giro. Well, he was found dead in a hotel room in February 2004, and police have always said that it was a drug overdose. Meanwhile, Marco's mother believes that he was murdered. She said, in speaking to La Voce di Romana newspaper, "Marco was murdered. I'm increasingly convinced of it. He could not have died in the way that he did, falling out of bed. The position in which his body was found was not natural. Also, there is no way you can destroy a bedroom without getting a single scratch on your hands." There is no indication that police are reopening the investigation into Marco Pantani's death. They are absolutely convinced that it was drug overdose. So, not sure whether or not Marco's mother is going to take this any farther than making these allegations. But certainly, it makes an already bizarre story even more bizarre. And finally, the man who wins the award for Senior Endurance Cyclist of the Year, an 84-year-old man from the small central Polish town of Znin, that's spelled Z-N-I-N, left town a couple of weeks ago just to go for a little ride on his bike. After a while, his family got a little bit nervous. Where had Ludwig gone? Around the same time, London police, that's London, England, started sending faxes to law enforcement groups all over Europe. It seems they had found an 84-year-old Polish man riding his bike around the streets of London. And you guessed it, it was our friend from Znin. His family, of course, said he just took his bike and he left. He was just going out on a regular ride. When the family got to London to pick up old Ludwig, a police spokesman from London said the family have been unable to explain how he got to London. He doesn't speak English. He has no friends or family in England, although he did take enough money with him to buy an air ticket. None of the airlines have said that he actually got on a plane with his bike. My opinion, the guy was a Fred. He was just an endurance cyclist. He was training for his next century.
Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer.
Well, it's time for the first annual Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide. Whether you're about to celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or something else, this is the time of year when we're all going out and buying gifts for our friends and family and our loved ones. And it's the time when our friends and family and loved ones are buying gifts for us as well. I'm going to give you a list of items which I'd be interested in getting this holiday season, and a hint to my family, and some items that I think that you might be interested in as well. I'll present them to you in dollar order, starting from the least expensive on the way up to the most expensive, and you'll find links for each and every one of these items in the show notes. Now, if any of these items appeal to you, and you're looking to have your friends and family buy any of these for you, my suggestion is take the podcast, drop it into their favorite MP3 player, or burn it onto a CD and put it in their car. Don't tell them. Just let them listen and get some ideas.
Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away.
Well, the first category of items that I'm going to be bringing you is something everybody needs at this time of the year, and that's a new calendar. Let's face it, December's getting a little old, a little ragged. We filled in all those little squares on our calendars, and it's time for a new one. There's a number of good cycling calendars out there, and I found just a few. First of all, if you go to the VeloNews website, you're going to find a number of different calendars that are available there. They have calendars on Lance Armstrong. They have calendars on from Inside Triathlon. They have the IMBA calendar, and they have a calendar called Porches of the Tour. They're all about $15. Now, the Lance Armstrong calendar is a really interesting one for 2006. Of course, Lance isn't going to be riding the tour this year, but we have a lot of great images of his last seven victories on the tour. And the Lance Armstrong calendar, which goes for about $13, is a nice commemorative calendar showing some of the best images of those last seven victories. Another nice calendar is the IMBA calendar. Now, IMBA, of course, is the International Mountain Biking Association. This calendar is really nice. It has images from mountain bike photography legends like Sterling Lawrence, Bob Allen, and John Gibson. And this year's edition may be one of the best ever. It features 12 months of amazing mountain biking photos from destinations all around the world. And I have to tell you, as a mountain biker, whenever I see pictures like this, it really makes me want to strap on my helmet, put on those SPDs, get out in the hills and go riding. So I love mountain biking calendars, and the IMBA calendar is definitely one of the best. Another nice calendar is the one that's put out by Graham Watson, and Graham is probably one of the best known photographers of the Tour de France in the world. And if you go to Graham's website, you'll see some just amazing, beautiful images, not just of the cyclists, but he really has an amazing way of taking the cyclists, putting them in the scenery, and really just making the cyclist part of the scenery. It is just, his images are always gorgeous. So the Graham Watson calendar is another one to think about. Finally, and this one's sort of on the quirky side, and I sort of found it on a fluke. I was searching around on the internet for cycling and for calendars, and I came across this one, not exactly politically correct and certainly not for everybody, but it was kind of funny and I thought I'd bring it to you. This one's called the Cycle Passion Calendar. It goes for 36 euros, which is about $43 right now, depending on the exchange rate. Only available right now for those of us in the United States. Over the internet, we'd have to order it from a European company, so it's probably going to take a week or two to get to us. This one's interesting. Go to the website and you'll see what I'm talking about, but it basically features 12 different female models, scantily clad is probably the way to say it, each of them with a different Hizuit road bike. Calendar looks like it's got very, very nice production values. So if girls and bikes are definitely one of your passions, then I would say the Cycle Passion Calendar is something that you should look at. Now, the next item up in our price range is something that if you are riding and you're concerned at all about your safety and possibly having an accident, especially if you ride alone, this is something you might want to look into, and it's called Road ID. And what Road ID is it's like an identity tag that you wear on your wrist or on your ankle or on your shoe, or you could even wear it like dog tags, and it has all sorts of pertinent information about you, so that if for whatever reason you should crash and perhaps you get knocked out or something happens, the emergency personnel or the first people to arrive will know as much about you as you choose to put on this tag. Personally, I think that riding with ID like this is an excellent idea. Just putting your driver's license in your saddlebag
probably isn't going to do it, because if, God forbid, you get in an accident and they take you away in an ambulance and you get to that emergency room, chances are you and your bike are going to be in two totally different locations. So having ID on your body that isn't going to fall off is a really good idea. And Road ID has been around for a long time. It goes for about $20 to $25, and I've put a link to their website in the show notes. Now, personally, I had the idea of wearing ID a little bit before I learned about Road ID. And what I've done is I actually wear a set of military-style dog tags, and I bought them through a uniform company. And again, I've posted a link in the show notes. And they're a lot cheaper than Road ID. They work just as well. It has my name, who to contact in the case of emergency, any drug allergies, all sorts of information that emergency personnel are going to need, and a lot cheaper. There you're talking about $10 for the tags and a chain, and about $5 for a pair of silencers so that as you go down the road, they're not jingling against each other. So I think ID, whether it's Road ID or dog tags, great idea, a really, really simple gift. Maybe if you've got small kids and they're looking to buy something for mommy or daddy, this might be something that they may be able to chip in and buy for you. The next category of items that I would recommend, and something I always love, and I had a real hard time keeping this list short, so keep that in mind. There's just way more of these out there than I could ever list in the podcast, and that's books. Books on any subject I personally love, but cycling books especially I think are great, and I've got a list of a couple of books that I think that you might be interested in. First and foremost, and I know we talk about him all the time, but right now he really is the racer that we all think of when we think of cyclists at the moment, and that would be any book by Lance Armstrong. And obviously the two books that we all know so well, Every Second Counts and It's Not About the Bike. You can get these obviously at places like BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com, and they go for anywhere from between $11 and $25 each. Now, along that line, when I read these books, I actually didn't read them. I listened to them as audiobooks. So that's another thing to think about, going to maybe Audible.com or BooksOnTape.com and putting these on your iPod or your MP3 player, maybe even listening to them as you ride. The next book, and this one's on the pricey side, especially as it comes to books, but it is an invaluable resource and something that I think every cyclist should have on their bookshelf, and that's the Barnett's Bicycle Maintenance Manual. Now, Barnett's has been around for a very long time, and I don't even know what edition they're in at the moment, but I put a link in the show notes to their website. You can check for yourself. But basically, what you're talking about here is a book that's published on grease-resistant pages in a format that allows you to, that's separated into four separate volumes, that basically gives you every piece of information you're ever going to need on how to maintain whatever kind of bike you may have. So if you're in your garage and you're working on your bike and you're stumped about how to do some procedure to your bike, you pull out Barnett's and you look in there, and it shows you and it tells you exactly what to do. It takes the mystery out of doing whatever maintenance procedure you need to do on your bike. It tells you what tools to use. And it's funny, if you know a cyclist who has this book and it's in their garage, you can tell how much work they do on their own bike based on what those pages look like and how greasy the book looks. Barnett's is absolutely invaluable and something that I definitely recommend. It is pricey, but it is well, well worth it. Next book that I definitely recommend, one that I use, is a book called Core Performance. It's by Mark Verstegen. And Core Performance, Mark really, I believe, started the whole trend into strengthening your core, and he really brought the whole concept home in a very user-friendly way. And this book features not only the movements that you need to do and the exercises that you need to do, but it's got a lot of Mark's philosophy about sportsmanship, about training, about nutrition. It is a valuable resource, not just for the movements, but also for the lifestyle. And I've talked to cyclist after cyclist who has told me, I had a lot of back problems, I had knee problems, I had problems with my shoulders and with my neck. And then once I strengthened my core, all those problems went away. So Core Performance is definitely something to look into. Great for off-season training, but also great year-round. work it into your cross-training regimen, and I think all around it's going to make you a better cyclist. And finally, the last book that I would really recommend, and I mentioned this gentleman a few moments ago when we were talking about calendars, and that's Graham Watson's 20 Years of Cycling Photography. This book retails for about $30, and it is a pictorial history of the last 20 years of competitive cycling through Graham's eyes. And as I told you before, Graham just has a real knack for putting the cyclist and the scenery together, and he just has some amazing, beautiful photographs. I think it has 125 color photos in it, makes a great coffee table book, and definitely a great conversation starter. Now, the next category of items that I would recommend, especially for the off-season, DVDs and videos that you can use for your indoor training. First, starting from least expensive to most expensive, would be the Spinnervals DVDs. And if you know anybody who's ever tried Spinnervals, they will tell you that the first time you pop one in, don't expect to finish it because they are tough, tough workouts. Spinnervals, they have a lot of different editions, different volumes that you can choose from for different things that you want to focus on in your indoor training, and they go for about $30 each. Similar to Spinnervals is the Trainwright DVDs, and these are from Carmichael Training Systems. We all know Chris Carmichael is Lance Armstrong's longtime cycling coach, and he's developed these DVDs very similar to Spinnervals. They're on different subjects, different items, kinds of cycling that you want to focus on in your indoor training. These go for about $50 for two, so $50 for two is pretty good. And finally, sort of a newcomer on the scene, but somebody really who this year has exploded in popularity, and that is Graham Street's Cyclo Core and Cyclo Zen series. Right now you can get the combo if you go to Graham's website for about $120. Graham's DVDs are a little bit different than the Trainwright or the Spinnervals DVDs in that he does a lot of different stretches, especially on his Cyclo Zen, where he's doing a lot more yoga. But what you will find and what everybody says is that if you follow his program in the off season or during the season, it's going to make you a stronger, more capable cyclist. So definitely something that you might want to consider checking out. Next up the list is new clothing. As cyclists, we're always looking for new clothing to wear when we're out there, whether it's for warmth or comfort or just to show off a little bit, as Freds are wont to do. And I thought a lot about what kind of clothing I might recommend to you for your holiday gifts. And really, a lot of this stuff is so personal, whether it's gloves or shorts. And so it just came down to jerseys and some of the jerseys that are out there that I thought were kind of fun and interesting and things you might want to take a look at. First of all, VeloGear.com has a number of different sort of quirky jerseys that you might be interested in. One that I was interested in this year is the Speed Racer jersey, because I was a kid of the 70s and 80s and I loved watching that show. And then, of course, more recently, they also have a South Park jersey. And for those of us who are still kids at heart, they have a Curious George jersey. So it's Curious George riding his bike. It's kind of cute. Those jerseys go for about $75 to $80. Now, if you want to look like Lance, or you want to look like George Hincappy, or anybody else on the Discovery team, you can also pick yourself up a Discovery team jersey, complete with that little yellow strip on the armband that either signifies Lance's Livestrong, or it could also signify his yellow jersey. You can get those for $99 at the Discovery Channel website. You can also pick up a jersey that looks like your favorite team, whether it's CSC or Gerolstein or Davidamon, Phonak, Quickstep, you name it. And you can find those over at competitivecyclist.com, each for about $60. And finally, one that I see on every century and double metric and double century that I've been out there and done, and this is one of my favorites, one of my all-time favorites, and it's the Republic of Anaerobia jersey. It goes for about $69, and it features the Republic of Anaerobia logo, including their famous slogan, Vini, Vidi, Vomiti. This is one of my favorites, and you can find that over at anaerobia.com, again, for about $69. Now, going up the price range from jerseys, we come to something that, again, this time of year is very important. And if you're a mountain biker, maybe in the summertime it gets a little bit hot where you are, and maybe you like to ride at night, and I know a lot of people who do, or maybe you're doing 24-hour races and things like that. Everybody needs lights. Now, there are a number of companies out there that make a number of different lights. For my money and what I ride with Knight Rider lights, and I would absolutely wholeheartedly recommend that you head over to their site and check out the various models that are out there at various prices, whether it's handlebar mounted, and whether you're looking at a single light or a double light, or it could be helmet mounted, or even just a tail light, which is very important. Sometimes even in the daytime, you're going through a tunnel or a dark area, sometimes you want to flick that on. So head over to the Knight Rider website and check out the various lights that are available. Now, when I was talking about books, I mentioned Barnett's Bicycle Manual, and I talked to you about tools. Everybody needs a decent set of tools, and maybe you don't need the full set that a lot of mechanics in your local store would have, but you definitely need to have a good set of good quality cycling tools. And when it comes to cycling tools, really right now, the main company that everybody goes to is Park Tool at www.parktool.com. They have every single tool you might want, just from a simple pedal wrench all the way up to a headset reamer and a lot of specialized tools that only somebody who has a lot of experience might need, and Park Tools got them. Another company that's certainly stepped up to the plate with tools as well as a lot of other maintenance items is Pedros. Pedros, who originally started making lubricants for the cycling industry, has really expanded their product lineup and to include tools, and you can go to pedros.com and you can take a look at the various tools that are available there. Next on my list, something that I'm signing up for in the next week or so is a coaching service. There are a variety of different coaching services out there. I'll be telling you in a few weeks about one that I'm going to be using. I'm going to be reviewing it and hopefully interviewing them. But there are a lot of coaching services online, and one that I think that looks the most interesting and the most promising is Carmichael Training Systems at www.trainright.com. And you'd be quite surprised. I've spoken with the Carmichael people, and originally I thought that they were really only targeting the very, very high-end cyclist who is also a competitor, amateur racer, on up to the pro racers. And what you'll find is their demographics are more toward the middle-aged male cyclist who is, as they put it, the weekend warrior. And that's why they have coaching packages that begin at $39 a month, and they go up very steeply from there if you need them to. Depending on the amount of attention you need, the amount of tweaking in your training schedule, Carmichael Training System has virtually any coaching package for any cyclist. And there's a lot of other companies out there that do the same thing. So you can find those on the internet, and you can find Carmichael at trainright.com. Next, and again, we're heading up the price scale here, something that I think that every cyclist, especially us Freds who just can't get enough cycling, even when we're on vacation or on a long business trip, something we all need is a travel case. I don't know about you, but I've traveled a lot, and I know that when I go someplace and I rent a bike, it really is a hit or miss thing. I've had some excellent luck in places like Scottsdale, Arizona, and on the Big Island of Hawaii, but I've been to other places where you think that you'd get a good bike, like, for instance, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I think for the 12 hours that I rented the bike, I probably spent 3 fixing it just to be able to go on a decent ride. So sometimes you just want to take your bike with you. And if so, you are going to need a good case that's going to be easy to pack, that's going to fit within the airline's regulations, and that's going to protect your bike, because you have a precious investment there and you want to make sure that it stays protected. And the bike case that I recommend that I've had the most luck with is by Bike Pro USA, and I recommend their race case. Or their double race case. I've used both, and when I used to travel every weekend to mountain bike races across the country, and I was traveling with a demonstrator bike, a bike that was supposed to look pristine and brand new when I arrived, I really trusted the Bike Pro cases. The race case goes for about $400, and if you think about what you spend on your bike, I think it's an investment that is really an insurance policy, and quite frankly, it can be cheap insurance over the long haul. Next, and again, I know I keep talking about winter time, and indoor training and things like that, but something I think that every cyclist needs to have for those times of the year when they just can't get outside and train, whether it's because it's dark or it's cold or it's wet. Every cyclist absolutely has to have an indoor trainer. And the three trainers that I recommend, two of them are trainers where they attach to the rear wheel of your bike, either the Cyclops trainers or the Manura trainers, and those go, both of them, anywhere between $100 and $300. Wind resistance, magnetic resistance, variable resistance without getting off the bike, variable resistance where you get off and you make a change on a dial at the rear wheel. Trainers are really, really important for maintaining your fitness when you just can't get out and ride. Now, along those lines is another type of indoor trainer that you might want to consider, and that's rollers. Now, if you haven't seen rollers before, what we're looking at here is, contrary to a wind trainer, which clamps your rear wheel and your front wheel is just sitting on the floor, on rollers, you get on your bike on the rollers and you ride just as if you were riding out on the street. And, you know, whereas a wind trainer really just turns your bike into like a stationary bicycle, here you have to maintain your balance, you have to work on your pedal stroke, and it really turns you into a much better bike handler. So you're able to focus on your spin, work on your form, and it's really funny, when the springtime comes around and everybody gets back outside on their bikes, you look on the street, you watch the cyclists, and you can really tell the ones who were using a wind trainer in the off-season and the ones that were using rollers in the off-season. And the difference, though, is that rollers get a little bit expensive. And when it comes to rollers, there's a lot of companies out there that make them, but probably the premier rollers available are the Kreitler rollers. Now, I remember Al Kreitler from way back when I was in the bike industry. He used to walk around the bike show in these big bib overalls, and poking out of the overalls just beneath his chin was his little dog, Killer. It was this tiny little terrier dog, and his name was Killer. It was just great. Everybody knew Killer, and everybody wanted to talk to Killer, and Al was a really super nice guy. Kreitler rollers right now go for about $380 on up to about $650. So it's definitely an investment. It certainly takes some skill. You have to be very careful the first time you start using rollers, but it is really a great way to train indoors. Now, a few years ago, all the rage in cycling as far as performance electronics was heart rate monitors. Everybody was training for their VO max, they were training for their lactate threshold, and they were using a heart rate monitor in order to monitor their performance when they're on their bike. And a heart rate monitor is absolutely still something that every serious cyclist wants to incorporate into his or her training. But now the new rage is power meters. And what power meters do is they monitor how much power you're putting into your pedal stroke throughout your entire training session, and that's usually not only on your handlebars, on a readout just like on your cycle computer, but it's usually something that you can download to a computer as well. And power meters range anywhere from about $600 on up to about $2,500 and up. You can find them from Polar, the heart rate monitor people, so you can get one that does your heart rate and your power sensing. From PowerTap, and that's probably the most popular these days because it's moderately priced as power meters go, for about $700 and up. And you can also get them from a company called SRM, and there you're talking $2,100 and up. And I've put links in the show notes to each of these companies' websites so you can check those out. This is how Lance Armstrong trains. This is how a lot of the major cyclists on the Pro Tour train. I have a lot of friends who use these as well, and they and their coaches swear by them. So something that you might want to consider if you have that extra money and you're really going for that extra bit of monitoring that's going to help you get the most out of your cycling training. And finally, now that we've broken the $2,000 level with our power meters, if you're looking for a gift, what's the obvious choice? Certainly on the highest end of the spectrum, and that would be a new bike. Now, obviously, you can get a bike for $100 at your local big box store or your Target or Toys R Us, that's not something that us Freds are looking for. So, I mean, your new bike could go anywhere from $100 up to $25,000. And people ask me all the time, how do you choose your bike? And I'm going to, in a future podcast, give you some of my comments about how to choose your new bike. But obviously, it takes a lot of research. It takes a lot of visits to a lot of different stores. You have to determine what frame materials you want. You have to figure out what geometry you want. And above all, you have to do a test ride and test ride a lot of bikes until you find the one that feels quite right. And I think I told you in the last podcast about when I picked my current bike. And if I didn't, I'll never forget that test ride. I came back after that test ride, and I walked into that store, and I couldn't take the smile off my face, and I still have that with my current bike. So buying a bike is a long-term process. It takes a lot of research and a lot of perseverance until you get the right thing. But I will tell you that personally, if I was buying a new bike today and money's no object, I'd probably be looking at, and I know some of you out there already complained to me that I talk about things that are too expensive, but I'm just talking about me. If money was no object, what would I be buying? The two bikes that I really have my eye on right now, the first would be the Orbea Orca, and that goes for about $6,100 with Campy Record components. The second bike I'd be looking at is a Colnago C50. What a gorgeous bike. And there you're talking about $4,000, and that's just for the frame set. Start adding Campy Record and all the other components you want on that, and you're talking about it easily $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 bike. So those are the items that are on the Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide. I know there are thousands and thousands of other items I could have chosen, but I had to pare the list down to something that was manageable, and those are the ones that I would definitely recommend this year for you, for your loved one, anybody who's into cycling, anybody who's a Fred. And finally, in today's podcast, I just want to mention sort of a Fredcast quick tip, if you will, something that I learned recently and that I hope you can all learn from my mistake, and that is, quite simply, in two words, don't rush. Now, we just talked about the Fredcast gift guide and some of the things that you might want to go out and purchase for yourself or have somebody buy you as a present. But I have to tell you something that I learned over the weekend. I've been riding with a pair of Karnak quartz cycling shoes for about three and a half years, and they have fit me great, and they have really served me well for thousands and thousands of miles on my road bike. But they got worn out. Three and a half years of shoes, considering what I spent on them, I think it was a pretty good value. And it was time for new shoes. And I went into my local cycling store, and they didn't have the Karnaks anymore. And they had some CDs and some Shimanos, and I tried them on. I went to another store, I tried some more on, and finally ended up buying the new Shimano shoes, the very high-end Shimano road shoes with a nice carbon sole and a really neat buckle for adjusting. And in the store, they felt great, and they really felt like they were going to really do the trick for me. And then this weekend, I was away with my family. I brought my bike, and I did about a 50-mile ride. And when I got back, I couldn't feel my toes. No matter how much I adjusted those shoes, they were too narrow, and they were really cutting off the blood flow to my toes. Well, I rode with them again last night on a shorter ride. It was about an 18-mile ride, and same problem. And sure enough, those shoes are probably going to show up on eBay in a couple of days because, quite frankly, I made a mistake. I had something that worked. I rushed into the purchase, and I didn't look for the same brand or the same model that I already had. I bought something that I thought would work, and it turned out that it didn't. So don't rush. When you want to buy something, you've already got something that works. Stick with what you know. Don't rush. Make sure that when you make that purchase, it's for the product that you know already works. And stick with it. Don't rush. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Fredcast. I want to thank you for listening, thank you for downloading the show, and thank you for staying subscribed. This show is for you, and I know it's a work in progress. I've got a lot of ideas for upcoming shows. I know the audio still has a little glitch in it, but I'm going to be working that out as we go, and thanks for staying subscribed. To contact me, you can go to the website at www.thefredcast.com. There's where you're going to find the show notes with links to everything I discussed today. You can also leave comments for me there, or if you'd like to leave me either an email comment or you want to send me an audio comment, go ahead and do that to my email address, which is thefredcast@gmail.com. Or if you want to leave me a voicemail, and please realize that I may play it on the show, please do so at 206-203-FRED. That's 206-203-FRED. And I have to tell you, I really enjoyed getting your emails over the past week and your voicemails. Please keep those coming, and I will feature them on an upcoming show. All right, so coming up, as always, our PodSafe Cycling music. Today's music is by a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Bratcher. The song is called Happy. This time of year, aren't we all? And you'll find that at music.podshow.com, and a link to Jimmy's portion of the podshow.com website are in the show notes. So, again, Merry Christmas, a happy Hanukkah, a happy Kwanzaa. Whatever it is you're celebrating this time of year, I hope that it is happy and healthy and safe. Keep staying subscribed to the Fredcast. Tell your friends about it. And that's going to do it for today. So enjoy the music. And most of all, get out there and enjoy the ride.